This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks. And we are coming to you from the air-conditioned, dark confines of our apartment, because that's the only bearable place to be. We tried going out to record, but everyone's just way too crabby, and it's way too noisy out there. So yeah. Aside from the hum of the air conditioner and the panting of the dog, that's all you're going to hear in the background this time.
And the clink of the ice, because nothing is better on a hot day than a gin and tonic.
Yes, yes.
So we had an adventure last weekend. We went into Toronto to the historic distillery district.
Yeah.
I guess is what you would call it. Because Sheila is signed up on a mailing list for a sake place in Toronto.
Yes, there's a place called Izumi Sake. And the Izumi is Japanese for spring water. And they actually make sake on site there the traditional way, with the pressing and inoculating it with that it's kind of like a special kind of sake yeast. I can't remember what the name of it is, but
so they whenever they press a new batch, which means the sake is pretty much ready to drink, they send an email out on the mailing list saying, hey, this is batch number 8, batch number 7, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And this place just opened up in the spring.
Yeah.
So we ended up having, it was batch number 8.
Yeah, this weekend of July 23rd and 24th, they just did batch number 10.
Yes.
So that just shows you
how new it is.
How new it is, exactly.
So we had nothing else better to do on the weekend, and we said, let's go check out the sake place. And I had never been to the historic distillery district, and that is a tongue twister.
Historic distillery district?
Isn't it? Have you ever been there before?
I didn't even know it existed. The only reason why I put two and two together was because I saw on Izumi's email that it was in the distillery district on Mill Street, and Mill Street Brewing Company is also on 55 Mill Street in the distillery district. So I went, huh, well, let's go check this out.
We drove to Scarborough Town Center and we took the subway in, which worked out very well. All this time I had known Sheila, she always suggested, oh, we'll just take the subway in from Scarborough Town Center, and she made it sound like she'd done it 100 times.
I'd done it once when I went to go see Amanda Marshall in concert.
We show up at the mall and get out.
But I remember how easy it was.
And I said, where do we go now? I don't know. You've done this before. Yeah, once. So
it's okay. We just looked at the mall map, and it had the, you want to look for the rapid transit.
Yeah.
And basically, it's an above-ground TTC stop that takes you down to
Bloor Street? It's the Bloor Street one. It'll connect you to the Bloor Street subway. You can get out and catch that one, and then you're in the city. So it worked out really well. There's free parking at the Scarborough Town Center. It's a nice, huge, air-conditioned mall. You take care of whatever you need to take care of before you get on the train. Really cool. I like taking the GO train from Oshawa, but for a spur-of-the-moment afternoon thing, we didn't really want to deal with the GO train schedule because it's usually once an hour.
Right.
That was very, very convenient and very cheap.
I was going to say, if you're strapped for cash, too, the price you pay for one person round trip is more than you would pay for 4 TTC tokens for 2 people to get there and back.
Yeah.
So
that was really nice. But we took the subway in. They have directions on the website on how to get to the historic dealers. The historic distillery district, if you're driving
the
or if
HDD.
You're taking the HDD, if you're driving or if you're taking mass transit in, you just catch a connecting bus off the subway and it takes you almost right up to the district. You're a block away from it.
Yeah. Alternatively, if the weather was nice, you could always just take the train all the way down to Yonge, go all the way down to Union Station, and then just walk. It's probably like 6 blocks, do you think?
Yeah, it's not
well,
that
far. Well, Toronto-sized blocks. It's about 6 Toronto-sized blocks away from Union Station. Because it's over by St. Lawrence Market.
Yes,
right?
It's past a couple blocks past St. Lawrence Market. So it's a nice walk, but I wouldn't want to do it if the weather were inclement. So we blunder our way into the historic HDD, and it's really nice. There are a lot of little galleries, little art places, little places to eat, some really nice restaurants.
Mm-hmm. It's all got that. It's almost like it's this complex of buildings, and it's got all the original cobblestones, so you do have to mind your feet when you're walking around. But they've really done a great job of cleaning it up. I don't know if they like sandblasted the brick or not, but it looks really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And putting kind of all stuff that you would be interested in, like the same kind of person would be interested in. Craft beer, art galleries, stuff like that.
Some neat little trendy gift shop kind of places, a couple kitchen stores. It's a neat little place.
Mm-hmm.
They even had some displays set up of what was there before it became this. I won't call it a tourist trap because it's really not a tourist trap, but it's kind of touristy, but in a good cultural way, not the, cheesy,
it's not tacky.
Trinket, tacky stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they have some nice historic displays. They have some of the kettles from when it was a distillery, some of the kegs, some of the original equipment.
Yeah.
You can wander through the buildings and just see some of the displays even, and then go into some of the stores.
Because they actually had a foundry there. There was enough people there distilling whiskey and other spirits that they actually made the tools and the replacement parts for the machinery on site in the distillery district, which was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. We decided, since we were going to be there, there was no reason not to go eat lunch at the Mill Street Brewery restaurant, their brew pub, because we've wanted to check it out for a while. It was the perfect opportunity. If we're going to go in and check out the sake place, why not go just down the sidewalk, maybe a block, if that, within the district, and have lunch?
And since sake is, it's kind of, like, technically it would be a beer because it's brewed with grains, but the alcohol content is more like a wine. You really don't want to roll in and do sake testing on an empty stomach.
Yes.
You want to be prepared for that amount of
alcohol absorption.
Yes.
Yes. That way lies only heartache and sorrow.
Yes.
We went down the road, checked out the Mill Street Brewer Pub, and there were many other places you can go eat. In the district itself, you have a wide range of prices. Depending how much you want to spend, you can find a decent meal if you're out checking things out.
Yeah, because there were some really, like, high-end tablecloth places that we were like, ooh, it would be cool to go for a nice dinner there, but that's another time.
Plan ahead kind of thing. Yeah. But there were a little bakery. Special occasion kind of thing. There are a couple little cafes. So you can probably find, no matter what your budget, you can probably find something there to suit you. The brewery, or the brew pub, rather, is just awesome.
Mm-hmm. They totally have to take Tracy's parents there.
Yes. You walk in, it looks great. It looks like a pub. They have all kinds of pub stuff up, information about all of their brewing. When you walk in, to the right's the restaurant, to the left is the gift shop, which does sell beer as well. That's my kind of gift shop.
Yep.
They have, to the left as you're walking through the restaurant, you can see where the fermenters,
the mash cookers,
the giant silver things, where everything is. So it reminds me of a larger version of West Virginia Brewing Company when that was still open. I don't think it's open anymore, though. I think it did finally shut down. But back to Mill Street. We were there at the lunchtime, very busy, which is always a good sign.
They were pretty quick to seat us, though.
Yeah, we only waited a couple minutes, if that. But we weren't picky about our seats either, and we didn't have a large party.
Wherever you want to put us, wherever you've got room, that's cool with us.
Now, they have their regular beers on tap, and they also have the seasonal brews that rotate in and out.
And we ended up going with the seasonal, which was a blueberry wheat cask-conditioned ale. Very good.
Awesome. Now, cask-conditioned ale is not going to be as carbonated.
It relies on the yeast, the natural yeasts that are in the beer to give it a little bit of fizz. It's not forest carbonated with carbon dioxide. So
when you get it, it's not going to be a fizzy beer, but it was a refreshing beer.
Yeah.
It had a nice strong blueberry taste to it after you finished drinking it. It wasn't overpowering the beer itself, though. It didn't feel like we were drinking juice.
No.
But it was good.
It had like a nice wheat tang to it still, which made it refreshing as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of cloudy, a little bit purpley.
Yeah, you knew you were drinking a nice unfiltered craft brew, but it was delicious, 100% worth it. They also had the lemon tea beer on tap as one of their seasonal brews, which was my second choice if they didn't have the blueberry. And if you're in the Greater Toronto Area and you have not tried the Mill Street Lemon Tea Beer, it's really good.
It's dynamite.
It's not like you think of Bud Light Lime or some of the lime beers where, I don't know, it's the lime's there to cover up the taste of the beer. It's not. The tea and the lemon work with the beer, and it produces a very unique kind of drink that you know you're still drinking a beer. It's not like you're drinking a cooler or something. It's really interesting, and it's, on a hot day, it's one of the best beers to go grab.
The flavors complement each other instead of cover for each other.
They originally had it in one of the discovery packs at the LCBO, which means you could only get it in a six pack as a sampler. And then they released it in cans because there was a great demand for it.
In the LCBO, so you can check that out there. Or if you're in the district, go check it out on tap.
I'd love to see them do the blueberry beer, even if it's not a cask condition, just the blueberry wheat in cans as well, or bottles, because that was very tasty. We ordered lunch, like we said before. Mm-hmm. Sheila had...
I had the steak and Stilton pie, and it had steak in it with Stilton cheese. It was really, really good. It came with mashed potatoes and peas, and to be honest, it probably just could have been the pie with peas in it, and then it would have been a completely contained meal and served all of your nutritional requirements. But I digress. My only complaint really was that because it wasn't homemade gravy, It was gravy from a package, which is fine. The Stilton cheese made it really, really salty. And I don't know if that's just because it's my palate because we've cut so much salt out, or if it was a normal person would find it salty.
I think it was a combination of both. I think it was that we have eliminated a lot of the salt in our diet when we cook. And I think it's because one of the first bites you had in the pie had the Stilton in it, and it made everything seem a little salty after the fact.
Yeah.
Because when I tried a bite of the gravy with the potatoes, it was a little salty, but it wasn't anything...
Wasn't out of control?
No. Well, I have a salt tooth. I don't really have a sweet tooth. I have a salt and a fat tooth.
Right.
And to me, that hit my salt tooth in a way that was appealing, but not overwhelming. So anybody else would probably love it.
I don't know if all the Stilton ended up on one side or what.
And that's kind of what it looked like when you cut open to the pie, but it looked great. The pie crust was just out of this world. That was really good.
It was good. It was a bit on the salty side, but your mileage may vary.
Mm-hmm.
I'd still order it again.
The portion size was a 5. I think Aaron or Patrick would push away after that with a beer or two and say, okay, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up getting the brewery burger, and it came with fries on the side. Really good French fries, you know, fresh cut brew, pub kind of fries. And the burger was massive.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good, lean, thick patty, but it wasn't dry. It still had a little bit of grease, a little bit of juice to it. Like, when I picked it up and started eating it, it dripped a little bit of grease, but it wasn't like eating, like, you know, Mr. Burger or something where you know you're getting a good, greasy burger.
It wasn't super greasy.
Yes. So, very lean meat, very tasty meat. No fillers in the burger. It was 100% beef burger with seasonings. And it came with little crunchy onion bits fried up on it and their homemade barbecue sauce made with their porter.
Which is awesome.
It came with cheddar cheese and I think lettuce and tomato on it.
Yeah.
Excellent burger. Totally worth the price. And if that's nothing else, if that's the gauge of a pub, if they have good pub grub, then Mill Street Brew Pub has definitely passed the test. And my portion size was probably about... a 4 or a 5. I didn't finish my fries. You didn't finish your potatoes. There was that much food on the plate. And we knew we still had some sake to go later in the day.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to overstuff ourselves. But I think we both give the Mill Street Brew Pub 2 hearty thumbs up.
Definitely would go back again.
100%.
Would take anybody there.
Mm-hmm.
It would be awesome.
It may be one of our places of choice if we're going into the city with a group of people and everybody wants to stop and have a nice lunch.
Yeah.
Because they have a good menu, good variety. The prices weren't outrageous. Yeah. I think each of ours is around $10 or $12.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you bring about $15 for your meal, you're probably going to cover almost anything you'd want.
Yeah.
They have some crazy stuff. They have steaks. They have stuff like that, which is obviously more high-end.
Mm-hmm.
But they had the other thing that I was going to order was the lobster grilled cheese. And it was only like $12 or $13, wasn't it?
It was about $12 as well. That looked really good.
So, I mean, there's other things I want to try there. Definitely going to go back.
Yes. Now, the $15 quote would be if you're not ordering beer. If you're ordering beer, it's the same price as anywhere else you go in Canada, but it's quality beer because it's their brew. We also learned that at the brew pub on tap, they have fruit beers, which they don't normally sell in the bottle or anywhere else.
Yeah.
And they have Crack, which is really Creek.
Creek. K-R-E-I-K. It's a cherry lambic beer.
It's Crack. You get addicted to it. And they also have a raspberry lambic beer that you can order. We didn't get them because, again, we were saving ourselves for sake. We were nobly
sacrificing,
so we were able to handle the sake in a little bit. But when we go back, we will check out the fruit beers and let everybody know how they are. I'm a huge fruit lambic fan.
Yeah.
And Sheila is probably as big a fan of them as well.
I like everything, but yeah.
Yeah, those are awesome.
And they do have samplers. They have. Mm-hmm. We saw some of them rolling out with samplers of all their house beers.
And there are 3 or 4 different samplers on the menu. So you could even have a couple people who each get one and swap around what they want to try. There are a lot of options.
Yeah.
So on to Izumi and the delicious sake. Oh my God.
Wow. So we got the, was it called a sampler or a flight?
It was a flight. They actually had flights of sake for sampling.
And it was $10 for 3?
It was $10, and it was 3 of the smalls. They have 2 sizes, small and large. The small was only about 30 milliliters, so it's right around a shot.
Yeah.
And the large, I want to say, was like 60 or 70 milliliters. So it's a decent cup of, it was a decent cup of sake. And you walk into the place, and it's small.
Yeah.
Their actual retail area is smaller than our apartment living room, and we live in a closet. So that can tell you how small that place is.
Yeah.
As soon as you walk in, there's a little bar there where you can sit down and you can buy sake to try. They have a little refrigerator case where they have the bottles for sale, as well as the, the leftover rice.
Is it called nata?
I think that's what it's called.
The rice that has been used to make sake is apparently gourmet gold for cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I've never actually had anything with it, but they were making ice cream out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have it there in little cartons that you can buy it and take it home and mm-hmm. cook with it.
And then right past the refrigerator case is the sake setup, where they're working frantically and making things
behind
while you're drinking.
Glass, they're walking around in lab coats.
Yeah.
Doing stuff, bottling. I think they were bottling when we were there.
And it looked like science.
Tests. Science!
It did. It's all technical, and there are tubes everywhere, and everything's all shiny and squeaky clean. You walk in, you're like, wow, this is so cool. So we sat down, had the flights. Now the names...
Okay.
I'm going to butcher them. It's all you.
The first one was the Nama Nama, which is kind of like Numa Numa, as in Maya Hee, Maya Hoo, Maya Ha, Maya Ha. Anyways, the Nama Nama is the crowd pleaser. It's their house brand, and it's a little bit on the sweet side. It's not crazy, crazy sweet, but it definitely has a sweet aftertaste to it.
Mm-hmm.
The middle one was... I can't remember what the name of it was.
That was my favorite, though. It was the one, even when you read the flavor notes on the menu, it says it's like a white wine.
And it is. It's a little bit tart. It's kind of like a Gewürztraminer or a Riesling. In that has that kind of tartness.
It was like a Gewürztraminer or a Riesling had a relationship with a Chardonnay, and they invited sake to the party.
Yeah.
Because it's tart, but sweet, but tart. And it was amazing.
Yeah. Very refreshing.
Yeah.
And then the third one was, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was an aged one, wasn't it? It was a bit higher in alcohol, I guess because it hadn't been diluted.
Yes, it was 18% in alcohol. That was the full-blown... You know, full octane
yeah.
stuff.
Because they usually dilute it down with water to make it to a reasonable level of alcohol mm-hmm. and taste.
Because otherwise it's like drinking a schnapps almost, because the alcohol content's so high.
Yeah.
We will post the names of the ones we had. We'll look them up. They have a great website. It's very informative. The pictures they have on the wall that explain the process of making sake, they have the exact same things on the website.
Yeah.
So you can find all kinds of neat information, the proper names for everything, the terms, what we're talking about here.
But the last one, it kind of, in strength and how it made you feel, it reminded me kind of a port.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't like a port in flavor, but the kind of warm feeling you got from drinking it was like drinking a port.
That's a perfect comparison. It didn't have the taste of it, but it gave you that feeling.
It tasted more like...
It was like the first one. It had a similar flavor to the first one you tried, the Numi Numi, but it was stronger.
Yeah.
And it had a little more guts behind it because
of
that.
It was still smooth,
mm-hmm.
but you could taste that there was more alcohol in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bit more viscous.
The flavor was richer.
Yeah, the texture. Yeah. It had like a velvety mouthfeel,
mm-hmm.
kind of, which also is like a port.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of got more of a viscous... mouthfeel to it.
And after we had those, and these are all chilled sakis, by the way. They aren't hot sakis. They do not need to be heated up. These are delicious served cold.
And these are also unpasteurized, so if you're planning on going and buying a bottle to take home, take a cooler with some freezer packs, or get some ice or something
mm-hmm.
if you're driving, because they'll perish in hot weather.
Learn from our mistake. We didn't take a cooler with us, and therefore none of the sake came home with us.
Yeah.
The last thing that we had is the reason we went into the city to go to this place primarily was to try the new sake they had just pressed, the number
fresh
8,
pressed?
The fresh press. So we actually bought the souvenir glasses for the fresh press. And you can buy little souvenir glasses, and they're either the small ones, like a little porcelain sake cup. The bigger one is it's like a glass cup with a little stem on it, like a thick stem.
It's almost like it's a sake cup on a pedestal.
Yeah, it looks like a miniature ice cream bowl almost.
Right, or a little goblet.
Yeah, so we got the large, each got that one with the fresh press.
In the logo glass.
The special logo glass, and it was amazing.
It was great. I would drink that all night.
Yeah. Every sake we had there just completely blew our minds, changed how we even look at sake. And it's ruined us a little bit for buying sake off the shelf in the LCBO now.
Yeah.
Because it's not the same
at
all. And the prices...
It's a totally different animal.
It's a little bit more expensive. You're going to get a smaller bottle and pay more at the place in Toronto, but it's 100% worth it.
Yeah.
They sell, I guess you call them magnums.
Yeah, where it's 1.8 liters.
Mm-hmm.
AKA the party bottle.
They're about $80, but that's a lot of sake, especially considering how good it is. And they also sell smaller bottles that are, I think, 300 milliliters or so, 300 or 400. And they're about $15. They're between $12 and $15, depending which one you get.
So all in all, if you're in the city and you're near St. Lawrence Market, totally check out Izumi and check out the Mill Street Brewery.
Head 3 or 4 blocks west or east and go check them out. They also have ice cream at the sake place. We didn't actually try the ice cream, which we were just full and full of sake and weren't really in the mood for it after that, but it is a soy-based ice cream.
The inability to digest dairy.
Yes, to digest dairy like we have. It will be a welcome treat as well. Then on the way back, we blundered into the St. Lawrence Market. I have never been there before.
I think I was there once on a school trip, and it's a foodie's paradise.
Oh, we frolicked. Frolicked, I say.
Yeah, any kind of cheese you could ever want, any kind of vegetable, any kind of meat. They had Kobe beef there.
Yeah.
They had quail eggs, which I'd love to try and make Japanese pickled eggs.
It's not a real Kobe beef. It's not the official Kobe. It's the stuff that's the Kobe style.
Yeah.
So I don't want to confuse anybody on it, but it can't be Kobe unless it actually comes from there.
Is it Wagyu?
Yeah, it's like Wagyu style beef, which is, it's raised the same way, and it's from cattle from those herds that some got smuggled out, and that's why we have...
Oh, is that the Texan stuff?
It probably is from that Texan herd that got smuggled out. Or it's cows that have been bred with those, and that's where it's come from. But to actually be Kobe, it has to come from Japan. The rest of it...
The province of Kobe?
Exactly. It's like champagne.
Yes.
It's not champagne unless it comes from Champagne in France. But this is a type of beef that's raised in that style, and it's that particular lineage of cattle that it has the marbling. I've never seen it in person before.
And the marbling was pretty amazing on it.
Intense. Just intense looking. It was expensive. It was, what, $40 or $50 a pound?
Yeah. Well, it was a tiny, tiny package, too.
Yeah. They had, I think, just like medallions of it. Because nobody's going to buy, well, they maybe will be going in and buying large quantities of it. But most people, they'll buy it as a once-in-a-while treat to experience it, and that's it. They also had, you were just saying, quail's eggs. And that's exciting.
And they also had every single kind of cheese you could think of. Oh my goodness. And you found Jamaican Me Crazy coffee?
Yes, my favorite flavor of coffee. We used to get it all the time up in Orillia at a coffee shop called Razzmatazz. Haven't been able to find it since we left Orillia. Blundering through St. Lawrence Market, popped our head into a coffee store. I popped in deliberately to see if they had it. Looked at the giant jars on the shelf and, oh my god, you have it! I want a pound of this!
They have it! Bread in a can! This place is great!
And it's exactly like what I used to get in Aurelia. It's a wonderful treat. Now I know where I can get it closer. It's just another reason to go to the sake place on the way home, stop getting more coffee. We'll have to make it a monthly thing.
I agree.
It was an exciting adventure overall. Everything that day went perfectly well.
Yeah, it was a swimmingly day.
Everything we had, everything we tried was perfect. Running into the St. Lawrence Market was exciting because I hadn't been there, but everybody kept telling me how awesome it was. So we're looking forward to going back to the historic distillery district. Haha, I said it the right way this time.
Nice.
And checking out some more places and getting you guys some more information.
I think that's pretty much it for this episode. It's not very long, but we're going to try and keep cool, and you guys do the same.
And we have been recording. We just have been very bad about editing. Life has settled down now. We should be able to edit a little more regularly and get some stuff up. So, this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on Facebook and or follow us on Twitter. You can email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends. Please make sure that credit is given. Thanks for listening and have a great day.